Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday on this holiday weekend. There was a lot of activity and festivities going on. Obviously, we had Father's Day, so happy belated Father's Day to all you fathers out there. We also have Juneteenth, and what a celebration there. It's remarkable, how far we've come as it relates to our country and just some of the ideas regarding inclusion, and Juneteenth certainly reflects that. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but I am your host, Dr. Baker. I am the owner of the only business hospital in the world, and we are here to help your businesses. And we're going to do that in a couple ways. One is you can call the show if you want to join the conversation. If you have a need or an ailment for your business and you want us to treat you online, we can. Our phone number is 859-291-2255. Once again, that phone number is 859-291-2255. Got a really, really exciting guest today. I will be bringing him in momentarily, but Pat Hill will be coming in to talk about taxes today and why it's important for you to understand the way of protection and really as an income, and we'll talk about that later. Where I want to jump into is going back to the holiday. As a business owner, and once again, for definition, small business, we're calling 50 million and under, 500 employees or less. So really, these are larger businesses up to the top level of the scale. But at the lower level of the scale, we're talking micro and boutique businesses, mom and pop shops, solopreneurs, if you will, entrepreneurs, is that, holidays are big business for the United States of America, and they always have been. Not only are they big business from a revenue-generating standpoint, they also cost businesses money. And you say, what does that look like, Doc? Is that, are you open on that day? Are you able to still generate revenue? How do you go about your messaging? What special changes do you have to make to your business or alteration do you have to make in your operation in order to essentially participate with the holidays? And so Father's Day is no different. If you had a restaurant, I'm sure you saw an uptick. You were preparing for different brunches, breakfast brunches and lunches for that day. Then you look at Juneteenth and you start looking at everything from apparel to designs, promotional products. All of those things are wrapped into the commercialization of holidays. It's not just Christmas anymore. It's all the holidays. So Christmas, we know, used to be at Christmas. Now Christmas is in October. They just flat out could care less about Thanksgiving. And once Halloween is over, you immediately go into that. But all of it is to generate revenue. And if you're a business owner, you have to be thinking, how do I capitalize on these holidays? Whether you believe in the merit of the holiday or not, whether you celebrate the holiday or not, as a business owner, you should be aware of, how does my business connect to holidays? How do I participate in a way that's meaningful to my company? And even if that means balance, sometimes you're looking at balance of life. So whether you decide to work during the holiday stretch or whether you decide to take that time off or you call that vacation time, all of that plays a part in the recipe of how you run your business. So your intentional thoughts, your deliberate thoughts surrounding the holiday are very, very important. So I'm going to pause there and I'm going to go ahead and introduce today's guest, Pat Hill of Tax Strategies Pro. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining me. How are you doing today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for having me. Kind of excited to get into the conversation, just have some dialogue back and forth, and hopefully we can bring something valuable to your audience and make them think about some things that they haven't thought about before.
Well, I think what's important, and you're hitting the nail on the head on the end, is thinking about things they have not thought of before. And one thing I want to remind my audience is that that's a part of treatment. My company believes in what we call four pills that you would take. One is information, next is innovation, ideation, then imagination. It's not cute alliteration. Those are the four ways that I treat businesses. And so one, when you talk about the information, is providing you with data, providing you with sources and resources that either you don't have access to, you've never thought about before, or just information at such a level that adds on to what you've already known, but allows you to work more efficiently or more effectively. And Pat Hill, that's exactly what you're talking about. So as we go to jump into that, Tell us a little bit about Tax Strategy Pro and then your role within the organization.
All right. So Tax Strategy Pro has been around for right at 10 years, headed up by Matt Pearson and Anthony Amator. Matt Pearson was the Small Business Coach of the Year for the Wharton School of Business back in 2013. So he's a, you know, pretty dynamic, smart, in-tune guy with a lot of businesses. But what he did was he decided, because he was so in tune with the tax law, he and his partner, Tony Amator, they decided to start training other CPAs nationwide. They've trained about 3,000 so far in proactive tax strategies, because your CPAs, in a lot of cases, you know, paying taxes costs you money, but tax strategies will save you and make you money. So, you know, that's the space that we operate in. And he often says, you know, if there are 17,000 pages in the tax law, you know, most CPAs are focused on 4,000 of those pages. And that's because they want to color inside the lines and be compliant. And as a football analogy, you know, if they are, if they're a football team, they're only going to the 20. When they get to the red zone, as far as, you know, claiming tax credits, deductions, things of that nature, and being creative, they're only going to the 20-yard line and they're stopping. Well, we're running the ball to the end zone because you still have another 10 yards behind the goal line. But we're running the ball into the end zone, and that's where we stop. So, you know, and then my role is I am one of the Midwest advisors. And I work hand-in-hand directly with small business owners. And just like you said, under 50 million and under 500 employees, that also is our sweet spot. So we are, you know, we're working on tax strategies for businesses. And typically, you know, for the businesses and business owners, we're talking 20 to 40% savings on average is what we find when we first take a glance at their taxes. You know, research and development tax credits, and one of the things that we're working very hard on right now and we're very focused on, because there's a small window to be able to claim these credits, is the employee retention tax credits.
All right, I want to pause you there for a moment. Thank you for shedding light on that. You said some things that I want to make sure that my listeners don't miss. Typically, when we're talking about taxes, you're only talking about filing your taxes or making sure that the IRS doesn't come and take everything that you have because you've done something wrong. Every time I talk to a business owner, those are the two main concerns, is when do I file my taxes in order to make sure that I'm compliant and making sure that I'm not in violation of some reality. But what you stated was that it wasn't about saving taxes. You actually mentioned the word taxes in conjunction with earning revenue. And I know, based on my experience and my history working with business owners, I've never heard anyone say, well, you know what, I kind of want to make money out of my taxes. Now, we had DJ the Money Coach on, one of our experts in all things middle class America and money. And one thing he was talking about on our financial freedom class on Friday was using your business as a tax shelter, which is a concept that I think most people, even at a very novice level, have heard of. And have said, you know what, I kind of need to have some write-offs, or I kind of need to protect myself in ways financially through my small business. However, no one has said, how do I make money off my taxes? So let's talk about that a little bit, even though you was pressing toward the employee retention tax credit. How are people making money off their taxes?
Well, you know, honestly, there are, first of all, I'm not the genius, but those guys are. So my job in the community is to talk to people about it and make sure that I can get them connected with, you know, with the experts in the back office. However, how are people making money off of their taxes? Well, number one, you know, if you're missing write-offs, that, you know, because most CPAs are going to use the same write-offs all the time. I mean, they're going to depreciate your real estate for you over a certain amount of years. But there's also something called cost segregation, where you can actually pull out the components of your real estate. I mean, I'm talking about the windows, the doorknobs, you know, the conduit that you use for the electrical. You can pull out each component of the building that you are have just built out, just recently moved into and had to build out, or you just purchased and built out, and you can depreciate those things over a lot shorter period of time. And they call that cost segregation. And again, I am not the CPA, but we can connect you with the CPA to talk to you about exactly how that works. But those are some of the things that you can do, because when you depreciate those over a certain amount of, over a shorter period of time, that means that you reduce the amount of taxes that you have to pay over those years that you're doing the depreciation. And a lot of times you can do it over a year or two or three. So there are a lot of things that people can do, you know, where if you have a business and you own the real estate, then, you know, there are ways for you to actually purchase the real estate in another business, rent the real estate to your business A, and have the deductions in both of the businesses. So those are other ways to, you know, be able to do that. But
I think in that case, what you're talking about, you called it a reduction, is that anytime you're paying less in taxes, is the old adage from Abraham Lincoln, a penny saved is a penny earned. So therefore, if you can go ahead and reduce the amount of outgo that you have, which is fully applicable inside of our tax laws and guidelines, that's actually more dollars you've generated and made. You were also talking about from a real estate standpoint. I think most people, even from a casual standpoint as a business owner, would say, if I own the property, I recognize that there's going to be more tax opportunities for me, because real estate comes with other levels of law that allows you to participate and take advantage of. But if I have e-commerce, or if I'm leasing a building, or if I'm a tech owner or startup, I may not have those realities. However, I will tell you, audience, that there's other realities that you now can connect to. For an example, if you've done any level of research and development over the last 3 years, there may be tax credits there for you. If you were able to keep employees during our economic downturn, or whatever it took to make sure that your manpower stayed at the same level, well, whatever you invested in to do that, those are also credits there. Fahil, am I right in saying that? Or I hope our viewers or our listeners understand that concept better.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You know, so let's start with the research and development tax credits. You know, back in 81, when Japan overtook us in auto production, President Reagan and, you know, his staff, they did not like that at all. So they developed a tax credit that would incentivize the auto industry to have better innovation, bring better quality automobiles and products to the market and bring them quicker. Well, fast forward to 2015, that law changed drastically because it was only built for larger companies. And it was actually very expensive to implement those research and development tax credits. But when they changed them, now the small guy can get in. I mean, and when I say small guy, we're talking, you know, like you said, micro and boutique businesses. I know of some companies that we've worked for. I mean, we're talking 3, 4, 5 employees. And depending upon the field that they're in, they can access some of these research and development tax credits. So it's very vast. And, you know, just for example, we have a small electrical contractor that we work with. I think they have maybe 10 or 12 employees, and they figured out, you're about to hear a lot of noise. There's a dump right outside.
It's okay, out your office. That's okay. That's fine. Keep going. We'll fight through it.
The small electrical contractor, they were putting up an apartment building, and they had conduit, you know, so there are miles of conduit when you're building an apartment building. Well, they figured out if you just take a piece of soap and wet it down with another liquid and run the electrical wire through the metal conduit, that will speed up their build out. their portion of the build out. And when we ran into them, or when they sought us out, guess what? That was one of the things that we were able to get a pretty lucrative tax credit for them for. So
it now, when you say that tax credit, that part sounds like income to me. You say, why is that? Because when you say lucrative, give us an idea, whether it's their particular one or some other example, or even what your average is per business that you're returning back to that company once you've done a tax credit assessment.
On research and development, it really just depends. But for that particular company, I do believe that the tax credit just for 1 year ended up being about $123,000.
So you got a scenario where, if I can jump in there, you're talking $123,000 U.S. dollars that you were unaware of, that you had no understanding or wherewithal to say that you needed. If you were to call me and say, hey, Dr. Baker, my company needs some assistance, I've reminded my audience that the top two things that I get calls for is my business needs more money or we need better marketing. I get those calls regularly outside of how to build technology. Well, in this case, if you were to come to me and I would say, okay, do you actually need more money? And by the time that my financial strategist and myself start to give you an assessment on that area, and we say, all right, you're trying to make how much more money? We'd be happy if we were to gross another $80,000 this year. Well, what if I found you $125,000 and a credit that you didn't even know was accessible to you? Now, all of a sudden, your company didn't need to reinvent the wheel on how to generate more revenue. You already had the revenue. You just didn't know how to access it. And I would call that powerful. And in a sense, that's the story that you're telling, Pat Hill, is that there was a company that was doing something in an innovative way that unlocked an opportunity for credit that was sitting there waiting for them. Is that correct?
100%. And on top of that, 90% of small businesses who qualify for this credit don't even know about it. They don't access it. They don't know about it. So that's a big part of why we do what we do, because the small businesses, they just don't know.
Well, that's going back to your point regarding how massive tax law can be and how it's really highlighting the differences in CPAs and their expertise. It's not that, you know, one is necessarily just so much better than another. It's the fact that some are trained to do business one way and others are specialists that are trained to do business in another way. And what I'm hearing you tell our audience is that Tax Strategy Pro is one of those entities that's trained in a specific way to uncap and unlock those, you know, those other tax opportunities that your common CPA may miss.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we're talking with a client to help them understand kind of our view and our philosophy, we kind of phrase it just like that, but we use it for in medical terminology. So, you know, if you go to the doctor, you go to your regular CPA or your regular primary care physician, what are they going to do? They're going to go in and, you know, they're going to take your blood. You're going to have to, you know, do height, weight, blood pressure, things of that nature. And what they're trying to do is figure out if there's anything in there, you know, that may put you in danger health-wise. Well, same thing with a CPA. And what do? They just make sure they mitigate the danger. Well, when it comes to specialty medicine, you're not going to your doctor to deal with any type of heart issues, cancers, or anything like that. You go to a specialist. We're the specialists in the world of little-known tax strategies and little-known tax credits.
Well, I think the part when you're saying little-known, I would find that to be alarming if I'm a business owner, because if the event that you had access to $100,000 from me, $50,000, $1 million for me, I don't want that to be little known. Now, I tell you what a lot of people do know, and I've heard this for, heck, since I was in college, that there were unclaimed funds in the world that if you followed this process or if you inquired this way, you'd be able to go get access to these unclaimed funds. We're not necessarily saying that. What we're saying is that you have a behavior as a business and a behavior as how you file your taxes, and when you combine those things, there's a way to unlock it in a way that now maximizes all your opportunities, and then it turns into what I'm personally calling, you aren't saying it, but I'm calling that revenue. Because if it's there, how many years back can we go back? Isn't it three?
We can go three tax years from the last time that you filed. So in other words, with this being 2021, if you filed 2021, we can look at 2020, 19, and 18. But if you did not file 21 yet, you filed an extension, but we can actually look at 2019. We can look back 3 years from the time that you filed your taxes. So 2020, 2018, 2019. Otherwise, we can go back one more year if you filed an extension.
So in that reality, we now can say, well, not only did you get, and this is, you know, I'm taking your words out specifically and using the semantics of them to highlight a point. In the example that you gave us with one of your clients is that that entity was able to recoup a six-figure return to them in the form of credits that they had earned, but they also had two more years they could have gone back and done the exact same thing. So what if, hypothetically speaking, but also very well could be literal, what if their credit returns would have been as significant or even more significant? It's safe to say or even hypothesize that they could have had a check for $300,000 or $400,000 that's just been sitting there, and then when they pass that three-year mark, they're going to lose credit for that 1 year. And so all of a sudden, they've allowed free money to go by the wayside.
That is absolutely correct, and it happens all the time where, you know, especially when businesses end up connecting with us, their first thing is, man, I wish we had known you guys 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, because they think about all of the money and all of the innovation and the research and the development and, you know, things of that nature that they've done over the last however many years that they could have been claiming this credit for. Because guess what? This credit is not a one-time credit. You can claim this credit every single year for all of the research and development activities that you have inside of your business. And another thing that I found out is, well, I guess I didn't find this out. I've already always known it, but it kind of hit me to put it in these words. Every company is always doing research and development. I don't care what type of business you're in. If you are in the food business, you are researching and developing new recipes to put on your menu. Or if you are, you know, if you're in the restaurant industry and you have a very popular product, well, now you have to do some research on how I can get that product not only to be served in my restaurant, but also to be put in the grocery freezer to where people don't have to come to my restaurant, but they can still buy my, you know, my soul rolls or my pizza bagels or whatever it is that people love. There's research and development that comes in with that as well. You have to look.
You make an interesting point there. And let's just stay on the restaurant theme. You got a lot of caterers. You've got a lot of small mom and pop restaurants, even to the larger ones, franchise owners, on and on. Where we have a great example of the pandemic and how Uber Eats or DoorDash changed how restaurants had to operate. Or there were some restaurants, and we gave a very good example on last week's show when Joe Faison, our chief financial strategist, was in, and we were talking about how there's a restaurant, you know, that was not equipped to have a drive-through, and they had to do something to make sure that when contactless orders were coming through and that, you know, when COVID hit, that they had to do something to change their operation. So we're not even talking about coming up with the next greatest idea. We're talking making modifications just to exist and make alterations just to fit the current climate. All of those realities fall under the category of research and development, right?
That is absolutely correct. And again, like you said, staying on restaurants and the example that you just gave. So when you're talking Uber Eats and DoorDash and things of that nature, you know, those things may not have been compatible with your old point of sale system, you know, your menu system and things of that nature. Well, now you had to figure out how to make those things compatible. And guess what? If they didn't have the answer for you, then either you had to figure it out or you had an IT company figure it out for you. Those are research and development credits from the meeting, from the initial meeting to searching online to all of the things that it takes to get those things done, even the reprogramming of the software is, those are research and development activities. So yeah,
all of those activities then give you credit for what you're doing in order to continue to operate in business, but not just continue, but to strive, whether it's to take market share or whether it's literally just to exist in an economic downturn, you're still making decisions, which are going back to your term, which is a formal term, which are these activities that allow you to be opened up by the tax codes of saying, this is the behavior we want to reward. And why are we rewarding it? No differently than you told the story about the automotive industry when they were making more innovative strategies for their vehicles, whether it's through sustainability, whether it's for affordability, they had to come up with something that made that industry more desirable. Well, it's the same in the realm of small business, is that there are incentives for those activities that govern behavior, and then understanding the tax code is a part of that. Which is why, and I'll remind everyone, I'll probably talk about this till I'm blue in the face, is that it is a very dangerous thing to be a business owner and decide that you want to wear every hat. You know, what I find is really funny, Pat Hill, is that many business owners brag about the hats they wear, and I look at them and think that's the dumbest thing I've seen and heard. Well, it's not dumb if it's out of necessity, but it's bad in the event that you're choosing to do that. Because you're not an expert in all things, so therefore you're operating with less efficiency, less effectiveness, less expertise, less experience. All of those things equate to negativity in the business realm. So as it relates to tax strategy, is that you might say, well, I do my taxes, you know, I've got QuickBooks, and then I just do my taxes through TurboTax. Well, that's not good enough, because you're not formally trained in these tax codes that allows you to access dollars that have governed your behaviors. Am I missing a point on that at any level?
Nope, not at all. I mean, you said it very eloquently. And basically, in a nutshell, people are leaving money on the table for activities that they are doing anyway. I mean, because every business owner wants to continue to thrive and grow and thrive and be better and be more innovative and offer more things to their clients. And, you know, these are things that they're doing anyway. But they're just not receiving all of the monetary reward that they should receive for it. You know, they may be making great sales, but like you said, there's incentives that reward certain behaviors. They're missing out.
Well, see, I would argue this. And this is just a different way of looking at the world, hence the reason one of our appeals is innovation, is that let's say, and this is hypothetical, but also could be very practical and pragmatic, is let's say that you were operating at a threshold that was somewhat comfortable for you, and let's just throw out a random number. You're making $300,000 a year as a company, so you're not a massive entity by any means, but you employ three people. You're making a good enough living for yourself, and you're making a good enough living for the employees. Everyone's kind of happy, but you like to make more dollars. Well, you might have to invest in new technology, more product, a larger space in order to generate from $300,000 to $500,000. Maybe that's your reality. So you need another $200,000 to the good at some level, but what does it take for you to get there? But in this instance, let's say you understood your current behaviors and activities, and that was earning you another $100,000 a year based on research and development or earn or employee retention tax credits. Now, all of a sudden, you can invest less because you know that your behaviors are earning you more dollars every year. That would be a more efficient way of viewing your business because you're viewing it with the scope of the lens of your tax behaviors. Is that making good sense, Pat?
100%. And then I'm going to throw something else in there. You know, one of the things that you just talked about was business owners wearing the hat and wearing several hats or wearing all of the hats and them wearing it as a badge of honor. When, again, if they are doing good in business, they could be doing much better if they had people in those different expertise areas doing that thing that they need them to do while you focus on the business growth. So what happens when you just find some extra money in tax credits? Well, now you can hire more people or hire the right people that will help you get to that next level that you're looking to get to. So not only are we're talking, you know, innovation technology investments or equipment investments, but now you're talking about creating new jobs and you know, investment in human capital and IP.
Well, absolutely. It's a couple ways. You know, we had some shows last week where we talked about risk and how do you value your risk, how do you assess it, and then how do you prioritize that risk? Well, let's say, for an example, that a big portion of your business revolves around the technology usage in your digital footprint, but you haven't had either the wherewithal or the resources to adequately invest in, let's say, cybersecurity or updating or upgrading your systems. Well, now all of a sudden you've received this tax credit that now allowed you to do that. And oh, by the way, maybe you've also invested in more research and development, which did what? Opens you back up for additional credits in the next year that's coming. So it's a cycle of having an understanding of how to run your business through experts that now catapult your business forward without you having to go raise your prices by 20% or increasing your sales volume by 35%.
Absolutely.
Right, it's just a better way of doing that. I want to take a station break right now. This segment is brought to you by Pro Elite Training. That is Pro Elite. It's one word, pro, and the word elite, one word, Pro Elite Training. Learn how to work out to the metronome of music to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace. I know some of you out there, whether you're trying to learn a dance step or you're trying to learn a three dribble concept, we can increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace. It's all scientific, but it's also very fun. You work out with NBA pro athletes. You work out with NFL athletes. Work out with MMA fighters. It's easy to find. Go to the Play Store. Go to the Google Store. Go in there. Put in Pro Elite Training, and it will pop up for you. Or you can go to the website at getproelitetraining.com. Once again, that's getproelitetraining.com. It's a freemium model. Hundreds of drills for free. Download it today. So, Pat Hill, what I want to transition a little bit to, and I want to get a sense of what you see in the field every single day. What is the initial response when you're talking to a business? And let's say that business is a company that's doing about $6-7 million a year. They've got 20 employees. And in that instance, how do they receive the information that you guys are giving them when it comes to, you know, we possibly can find you tax credits that you are, you know, that maybe you've neglected, maybe you've been overseen? How do they view that conversation? Is it a too good to be true? Are they all ears and antennas high? Are they receptive? Are they kind of uncertain and skeptical? Walk me through what that looks like.
Honestly, you're going to have people on both sides of the fence sometimes. And I'll start with the people who are extremely skeptical. It's too good to be true. And, you know, well, my CPA didn't tell me about this, so it can't exist. And, you know, and that's frustrating because one of the reasons that I do what I do is because I feel like I'm helping the community. You know, wherever I'm doing work at, I'm helping put money back into the pocket of that business owner, which is going to allow them to, you know, grow, thrive, create more jobs. And, you know, that sort of thing. So it's a little frustrating when I talk to people who just think it is too good to be true. But a lot of times that's what I run into. And then they want to go and call their CPA, and the CPA doesn't know about it. So at that point, I'm at another crossroads. Either they're going to continue to listen to me or they're not.
And, well, let's pause right there. And I'm cutting you off intentionally because I think that part there is massive. I'm going to give a story first, and then I'm going to qualify it with a question. There are some times that I do financial classes, and I'll go in and I'll teach levels of financial freedom, and I'll make statements that literally contradict somebody's grandfather or I'll make a statement that's contradicted a principle that they've used, and that principle is okay, but it's not a superior principle. And once you've done that, because they're unaware and the person that they received it from is unaware, it creates what I would call this adversary position, where now not only are they skeptical, they're now defensive. But how does that look in your world when you've told them something about the tax law, or maybe one of your tax experts have inside of Tax Strategies Pro, and they say, no, actually, you might have $900,000 available to you. And they're like, no, I've been with my accountant for 20 years. How could that be? Walk my listeners through what that looks like for you all.
Well, I'll give you an example, and it's going to be along the lines of the employee retention tax credit. Just spoke with a restaurant owner. They're a pretty decent sized Mexican restaurant chain, 18 different. Well, come to find out, once I met with the business owner, there are 22 locations that they have. And when I talked to him, he said, oh, okay, well, hey, do me a favor. Call my CPA, run this by her, and then we'll come back together and we'll get moving on this. Well, called the CPA. CPA didn't call me back. Dropped by her office and said, hey, I'll stop by on behalf of this particular business owner. And she told me to get out. She said, we don't need your help with this. They don't qualify for what you're telling them they qualify for. So at that point, I did contact the business owner again. I ran some numbers for him just on some basic, very basic information that I was able to pull down from the PPP website, the public PPP website, based upon, what their payroll was, how many employees they had. And because of the industry that they were in, I already knew what they qualified for or how many quarters they qualified for. So I just went back to the business owner and I said, hey, listen, me and the people in my back office, we ran a few numbers for you, and we're looking at about $4.5 to $6 million that you'd be missing out on. And, and he said, whoa, well, we have to talk to my accountant. I said, yeah, I think that's a pretty important conversation that needs to happen, because otherwise, your accountant is basically telling you that you need to leave $4.5 to $6 million on the table. When what can he do with that $4.5 to $6 million? I mean, he can hire staff, he can, upgrade things, create new things, whatever it is that he wants to do with those things, but he would have left $4.5 to $6 million on the table.
And I think in that case is that it becomes a part of what I would look at, and I'm just going to break it down to a simple term, is an ego reality. And you say, well, why are you calling it an ego reality? Now, I'm a business doctor. I'm the only one that exists at my level, but I'm not a medical doctor. And so when I'm looking at medicine, I look at medicine very similar to my work. And one thing that I know that happens in medicine regularly is that you get a second opinion. I've had some injuries in my life. I've had multiple knee surgeries. I've broken thumbs and, other digits. And so there's times I've gone into the medical doctor and said, hey doc, what's the prognosis? What should I do? I'll give you a great example. Recently, I broke a thumb in recreational sports and had to make a decision if I wanted them to reset it or not. And so the decision was very complicated. And I said, well, no, but I've had two medical doctors looking at the ramification of where my thumb was currently, what was the long-term ramifications of the surgery and not having the surgery. And those better inputs allowed me to have better decision-making. Now, here we go. It's my show. I get to do whatever I want. I'm going to plug my book, How to Make Good Business Decisions. It's a textbook. You can find it on my website in the bookstore. That's drbaker.us/bookstore. The book is called How to Make Good Business Decisions. Well, a part of in that book is the train of thought, and I teach on how your decisions are made, and those are made based on inputs, and those inputs come from the exposure of all your experiences. Now, why am I crafting this together? Because the reality is, if my experience only comes from one person, how do I have a comprehensive input database in order to make decisions? And the reality is you don't. You have a very lopsided version of it.
So just like you would do in the medical space, if your CPA said, nah, you don't qualify for that, but I've got another human telling me that I do, I owe it to myself to determine if one is full of poppycock or if somebody's telling the truth. I need to know that as a business owner. So it would be worth your time to say, well, look, I might spend a half day trying to figure this out, and I might be chasing ghosts. However, when you talk about doing an assessment, Pat Hill, talk to us about the assessment time, and because I want to make a point on top of your assessment time and what the risk is involved with the assessment.
The assessment from the standpoint of the business owner's investment in time?
Correct. So if you were to say, hey, I want to see if business A, B, or C qualifies for anything, what does that business have to do with Tax Strategy Pro? What is their initial risk?
All right. So the initial contact would be with me or somebody like myself at my company. And we're just going to ask you a few questions. Typically, those questions are going to be about 10. And then we're going to ask you a few questions about how many employees you have, what your quarterly payroll was for, you know, the quarters that you can claim on the employee retention tax credit. That initial phone call ends up being maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you there. So I've got 30 minutes invested there. How much money does it take me to get my initial assessment?
The low, low price of $0.00 will get you in the door to talk to one of us.
So you mean to tell me that here you are, man from the moon, I don't know you from Adam or Joseph, and you tell me that, guess what, Dr. Baker, inside your company, you might be missing anywhere from $100,000 to $10 million. Yeah, whatever, Santa Claus, that's not true. Well, yep, have you ever heard of this tax credit or that tax credit? So let's say you say, what about your R&D? And I say, well, I don't know. Let me call my CPA. My CPA then says, no, you don't qualify for those R&D taxes, tax credits. Then I turn around and say, well, why is the new dude from the moon telling me that I do? Well, from that reality, they're going to say, well, they're because they're trying to get business from me. Okay, I call Pat Hill back and say, my CPA told me that I don't qualify. What is it that you know that my CPA doesn't know? And what you're going to tell me is, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, is that if you give me 20 to 30 minutes, it'll cost you nothing. I'll tell you in the event if your CPA is right or wrong. Am I understanding that appropriately?
100%.
I mean, so you got a scenario, and I cut you off again, but I can't. This is my show. I know I'm being rude, but I have to make sure my listeners hear this. Is that we got a scenario where you mean to tell me that there was a company that could have gotten anywhere between $4.5 million and $6 million. I imagine that range is large because you had to take public information from the PBE site that they did not specifically give you, but was also public in nature. So that range varies based on certain specifications. Is that right?
100%.
So in that case, you come back and you say, hey, I might have on average $5 million for you, bud. All that's going to take me is roughly 30 minutes and no money out of my pocket to determine if that's a real number or not. I just want to repeat if that's true or not.
That is correct. Now, to be fair, when I give you that quote-unquote real number, it's definitely going to be a ballpark. The ballpark will be small. That number may be high by 10%. It may be low by 10%. But in 95% of the cases, when we're able to give that number, I mean, we're pretty much spot on until we actually get into the process.
Well, here's the reality. I don't need you to be spot on, and I hope my listeners is hearing this. I don't care if you're half wrong. See, why don't I care if you're half wrong? If you told me that I think I could possibly get you on average of $5 million based on what industry you're in, how many employees you have, and the work you do, and you're half wrong, that's $2.5 million. And I'm not good with numbers. I'm good with calculators. So in that case, $2.5 million tells me that's more than enough time for 30 minutes and no initial money out of my pocket. Would you agree with that or would you challenge me on that?
No, I'd say you're 100% correct. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what I ask business owners, you know, because again, I'm the man from the moon. And sometimes I do get pushback. And I'll just ask them, well, tell me the last time you were able to put in an hour of your time and receive $200,000 for that.
I tell you what, though.
An hour of your time, and you end up receiving $200,000 from that.
I tell you what, you're going to spend way more than an hour of your time trying to figure out TurboTax.
Absolutely.
No matter how easy they say it is to use.
100%.
That becomes a misappropriation of your work time as a business owner. Now, once again, I'm only talking in this particular instance to micro boutique, very small business owners that have a few employees. The business owner's wearing a bunch of hats. However, larger small businesses have departments for this, and those departments are also negligent. Have you seen where these departments say, well, we've got a CFO, they've taken care of it, but you know, Pat Hill, or your team knows that that CFO isn't trained in the same tax laws you guys are. They might have a finance degree, or they might have been really good in their role at another company, but they've never done these tax credits. Have you seen that?
That is 100% correct. I mean, I'm looking at a list here of, we're talking about auto dealerships. We're talking about skilled trades, HVAC, plumbing, electricians, manufacturing, church and preschools, hair and nail salons. I mean, it's all over the board that we can get qualified for this.
Well, see, in this case, you just mentioned some entities that I personally know after treating so many businesses, and I see roughly 50 to 60 businesses per month on average around the world. So when you talk about HVAC, let's really deal with HVAC. So many of these HVAC companies are family-owned. So you've got a person that owns the HVAC company. Wife is looking at the books. Wife is better with the money than husband is on average. I'm not stereotyping. I'm telling you what I see. And wife is not formally or classically trained in taxes. She then goes to CPA. CPA just does the basic work based on whatever wife turns in. And all of their employees are either contractors or part-time people that help them do their installs. But that company could make $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 every year based on certain activities and behaviors that they don't even know qualify them for tax credit. Is that what we're saying in a sense?
100%. 100%.
So what that really means is that not only is it negligence, it's very dangerous for you not to say, wait a second. Now, I've heard Doc, he gave us a prescription last week saying we need a risk assessment because we need to make sure we recognize what opens us up to risk that may be catastrophic to the company in the event that something happens. I'm also offering a verbal prescription saying, if you don't know where you are financially, number one, it's important to have a legitimate financial strategist oversee what you're doing. But then from a tax standpoint, a CPA is fantastic, but they're only one piece of the puzzle. Just like when you use the medical analogy, same reason why my business hospital exists as the only one in the world, is that I have experts in different realms that assists me with the treatment. So let me give an example, listeners, as when I bring someone in financially, well, there's multiple levels of finances. So if you're talking about a pro forma or a financial strategy, that's one. Well, that's different than bookkeeping and accounting. That's also different than retirement planning. But it all has to do with money, but the strategies are all significantly different. And that's what you have to pay attention to, or what are the nuances from element to element. Understanding all of your tax codes couldn't be more vital to a small business. And I just want to throw this in before I pose your next question, Pat Hill, is that when you look at wealthy individuals or companies at these massive levels, one reason why politics is important, because whoever is in office and whoever is holding all the congressional seats, all of what goes on in the political realm has to do with how these laws look and who these laws benefit. And so you've got a scenario where there are tax cuts that the common person gets angry and says, well, all this stuff benefits the wealthy. But then wealthy people say, well, heck, you're penalizing us and then pushing the dollars over to other individuals. Well, the reason why that argument is so important and paramount to every American is that if you're a business owner, pretty much every law that exists out there touches you in some way. You have to know that. And there's no way possible if I own a salon that I'm going to stay abreast of what that world looks like. just like the person in that space doesn't know every hairstyle that's available now. That's your expertise. And it's important to say, okay, how many tentacles to my business do I have, and have I put my best foot forward to understand all those tentacles? And in this case, and for the purpose of the segment, having a tax professional is paramount, and that's the work that Tax Strategies Pro do. Patty, in our short time, which we don't have a whole lot left, talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you see in your space that you believe is good. Are there any trends or anything that's favorable that our listeners need to hear about? Or are there any stories or examples that you can provide that really helps people understand the sheer magnitude of the work and the direction it's going in?
You know, with where we are right now, I really, you know, this little bit of time, this time has gone really quickly, but, you know, this last little bit of time we have, I really want to focus on the employee retention tax credit, because if you look at this study or the last surveys from the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Businesses, when you look at the PPP loans, you're talking about 76% of small businesses took PPP. Well, when they ran this this survey back in September of last year, 10% of small businesses had taken advantage of the employee retention tax credit. If you look at it again in March, and they have another one coming out in at the end of June, but if you look at the one in March, that number has now ticked up to 18%. So you're still talking about only 1 in 5 businesses have taken advantage of this money that is out there for how you were impacted by the pandemic. And if I could so quickly talk about some of the things that I've seen and some of the qualifications, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what a lot of people don't know, so number one, the employee retention tax credit is basically a refund. Number one, you have to have W-2 employees, so it doesn't work if you are 1099. W-2 employees is the first thing. Number two, if you are, if you've been limited in your commerce, ability to travel, or ability to gather, which those are some very broad questions, but we've narrowed them down to about 10 questions to zero in and see where you may qualify. So limited commerce, let's talk about restaurants. In Ohio, I know that we had limited capacity at restaurants all the way through June 2nd of 2021. So what happens? There are 6 quarters you can qualify for, starting in quarter 2 of 2020 all the way through quarter 3 of 2021. So it's 6 quarters, and for 5 of those quarters, the state order for limited capacity in, well, not only restaurants, but the social distancing limitations really hit restaurants hard. So I know we can get restaurants qualified based upon that. And, you know, again, a lot of restaurants just don't know about it. So, you know, it's really important to not turn people away when they have information for you, because I mean it could be life changing and it could be business changing for you, your employees, and everybody around you. But the employee retention tax credit, people really need to look and see if they qualify for it.
Well, I think in this case, one thing that is glaringly obvious to me is the lack of universal push toward these credits, as if it's almost a secret. There's nowhere in the world that that's Tax Strategy Pro's problem, because you guys are an entity servicing the public with your skill set. But unlike, you know, PPE, that was a massive initiative that was spoken about all the way from the presidency to every single media outlet as a reality of, if you need assistance, you need to participate in this way. What I would argue is that because it's not widely pushed, that's where skepticism comes in. So I'm telling you, listeners, this is not something to be skeptical about. Your risk is minimal when it comes to, hey, do I even qualify? It would behoove you to say, this is the first I've heard of this, or actually I heard someone mention it before. I need to see where I fit on the spectrum, because I might leave revenue on the table. And once again, I know it's not legitimate revenue. It would never be classified as revenue on a balance sheet, but I'm telling you the net effect is revenue because it's dollars that came into your company that you were not anticipating from an outside source that can help catapult you forward, and that is a benefit. And in that instance, that makes you a smarter business owner. It also allows you to operate more effectively and more efficiently, and that's what we all need as business owners. Pat Hill, how can anyone get in contact with you in the event that they desire to get an assessment done, they've got more questions, they just want to follow up? Tell the listeners how they can follow up with you all.
Well, I guess the best, well, not the best way per se, but one of the ways they can follow up is through the business hospital and just send them right down the hallway to the tax wing. But if they want to reach me directly, you can reach me at 614-401-8990. Again, that's 614-401-8990. And if you want to shoot me an email, actually, you know, here's the funny thing. We just got, they switched email servers. So we just got emails, new email addresses last week, and I haven't even logged into the new one.
That means you guys are expanding. You continue to expand from there. So we've got the phone number. Any of my listeners out there, you can reach us at info@drbaker.us. If you have any tax credit questions, Tax Strategy Pro is a wing of the business hospital. We can get you contacted with them at any time. If you have any questions and you want to call in, remember our call-in number is 859-291-2255. And so with this, I'm hoping that the listeners out there, that you don't take it lightly, that what we're telling you increases the overall health of your business. It allows you to operate in a way with additional funds that you did not have access to. I continue to repeat this because, you know, I own a business. I'm no different than the rest of you are. I'm always looking for ways to, one, generate revenue, but number two, maximize my tax obligations and reduce my tax obligations. So if I can get more, pay less, make more, someone please tell me where that's a bad equation. I mean, Pat Hill, am I on drugs when I say that?
No, and that's exactly, when you go to our website, you'll see it right at the top. Pay less, keep more. That's it. That's all. I mean, we've done over $250 million of the ERTC tax credits for people. So, I mean, when I say we're experts, we're experts. So just remember, it's up to $26,000 per W-2 employee. There's a formula in there, but that's what you'd be looking at to start, and then you work backwards from there.
So in this case, they know exactly how to start, you know, how to navigate. It's a system. The system is proven. And in that proven system, the only thing that's missing is the business that says, where do I fit in the realm of this system? And then how is it going to benefit me? That is the goal. Pat Hill, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us about this. We'll have you on again. We will make sure that if there's any questions that we'll bring you along, but we can't stress enough how important it is that there are different codes that were structured to make sure that businesses not just exist and survive, but that they thrive. And so Tax Strategy Pro is one of those companies that assists with that. Tomorrow, everyone, we have a great show. I want you to tune in for Tech Tuesdays. We're going to have Perry Jeter here from Jet Fuel Tech talking about different technologies. Once again, I'm Drs. Baker. This is Doctor's Orders. Thanks so much, and I hope your business all the best.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.